Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's the second day of our literature unit. We're talking about a famous novel by the name of Dracula. If you tuned into our program last time, you heard our summary of the story, what happened in the story. And today we're going to talk about the actual author of Dracula. If you have a novel or a book, you've got to have someone to write it. So the person who wrote Dracula is none other than Bram Stoker from Ireland.
He is. He actually was born in Dublin, Ireland. I've been to Ireland before. It's beautiful. And it's kind of a, it can be kind of a scary kind of country. There's a lot of fog. It's very humid there. It rains a lot. I was there in April, and it was awfully chilly even in April, but it's beautiful. But I can see how he would come up with this idea of a Dracula. Yeah, I can
see
that.
Is it like real green there, like they're saying
in
Ireland?
It's really green.
And are all the people redheaded there?
No, but they're sure nice, and they like to drink a lot.
Ireland, right. I hear nobody parties like the Irish there.
Yeah.
So if you head to Ireland, hey, expect to have a really great time. And we'll talk about Bram Stoker, though. He was quite sick when he was a kid, so I guess he had a tough time growing up. Let's hear about his life and times right now by reading through the entire content of our lesson for today right now. The author of Dracula, Bram Stoker, hails from Dublin, Ireland. Born in 1847, he was frequently ill when he was a child. To cheer him up, Stoker's mother would tell him vivid stories that captivated his imagination. Stoker attended Trinity College and majored in math. After graduation, he began a career in civil service. However, he also worked on the side as a drama critic and a freelance writer. In 1878, he moved to London, England, to help his good friend, legendary stage actor Henry Irving, manage the operations of his theater. While there, Stoker rubbed shoulders with several famous writers, including Arthur Conan Doyle and Oscar Wilde. Perhaps influenced by his famous friends, Stoker started to write his own original stories. His early efforts were not successful either critically or financially. That all changed after he published Dracula in 1897. It sold moderately well at first, and sales increased steadily in following years. Although Stoker published several other novels in his career, none of them would match the success of Dracula. Stoker's work deals with gothic themes such as spooky castles, maidens in distress, and beautiful countryside, all of which were extremely popular at the time. Yet, rather than dwelling on the past, Stoker would often contrast these classic themes with contemporary life. By doing so, he captured many people's anxieties as they were in the midst of dropping age-old traditions to deal with advances in science and society. Although Stoker died in 1912, the legend of Count Dracula has grown over time. In recent years, Stoker's groundbreaking novel has influenced the creators of the Twilight series and many other vampire tales.
Okay, everybody, let's talk about the author of Dracula, Bram Stoker. It says he hails from Dublin, Ireland. Dublin, Ireland, yeah, pretty beautiful city. Now, if you hail from a place, it's kind of a more formal way to say that's where you were born, that's where you come from. So he was born there, maybe he was raised there as well. I could say I hail from Mesa, Arizona in the United States. Typically, we don't use this when we're speaking. It's something that you would see written. It's a more formal way to say that's where you were born or where you come from.
Right. I hail from Pipestone, Minnesota, for example. And here, he hails from Ireland, more specifically, Dublin, Ireland. He was born in 1847, but he was frequently or often ill when he was a child. Ill means sick.
Mm.
He wasn't very healthy. And, well, I guess if you're sick as a kid, you can't go out to play with your friends and stuff like that. So he was kind of depressed, kind of sad.
Yeah.
His mother would cheer him up by telling him vivid stories that captivated his imagination. So if somebody's down in the dumps, if they're feeling blue, if they're sad, then your friends might try to cheer you up, to make you happy again, by telling you stories or taking you out to dinner, buying you gifts or things like that.
Yeah, and they were vivid stories, so they had a lot of details that seemed to really come alive for him. So it was like he was watching TV or movies. They were so great. So his mother must have had a gift for telling stories. The stories captivated his imagination. If you captivate somebody and their imagination, it means you get their attention and you hold it. By doing something that's pretty interesting, or maybe you're very pretty and you can captivate people's attention by how beautiful you are, we could say, oh, that book has captivated audiences for years, or that play has captivated audiences for years. You can also be captivated by something. Someone could be captivated by the beauty of a famous actress or model, something like that.
Hey, guys, if you want to woo a woman, you can quote Shakespeare to her. You will captivate her. You will totally control her. She will fall in love with you right away. So here, of course, the mother was telling stories to her boy, and he thought, wow, those stories are pretty cool. And, of course, that fired his imagination. He thought, boy, if those stories are so good, I could think of my own stories. But he wouldn't be a writer until later, I guess. He was more interested in numbers at the time. So he attended Trinity College and majored in math. Major here is a verb. That just means that's the main thing you're studying. It's what you're going to get a degree in. And I should say that if you're in England there, they will add an S there. He majored in maths or mathematics.
Well, after graduation, he began a career in civil service. Civil service is the part of the government that takes care of the government's basic business. For example, if you work as a postal worker, as a mailman or a mail carrier, you are part of the civil service. Those are pretty good jobs, but you have to take the civil service exam first. Once you get the job, it's pretty much you're set for life. You can't get fired. It's kind of nice. So that's what he did at first. Right after graduation, he began his career in civil service. However, it says he also worked on the side as a drama critic and freelance writer. If you do something on the side, it's something you do in addition to your main job. It's not your main job. So you might have a job working for an insurance company, but maybe you sell... things at the night market on the side. So that's what you do when you have some free time. He was also a drama critic and a freelance writer on the side. So drama critic would mean he would go to plays and write his opinion about them and tell people whether they should go see that play or not. And if you're a freelance worker, it means you're earning money by being hired to work on different jobs for short periods of time. So he would just write sometimes. Maybe he would write a story or two for a magazine.
Sure, yeah. You could be a freelance writer, a freelance photographer, a freelance artist, whatever. So he was writing articles on the side. Mm-hmm. He would just submit them to publishers and try to get them published and make a little money on the side.
Right.
And in 1878, he moved to London, England. So, of course, he left Ireland and crossed over to England there and lived in London there in the late 19th century. And to help his good friend, that's why he moved there, actually. He was helping his good friend Henry Irving, and Henry Irving was a legendary stage actor. At the time, I suppose, all actors were stage actors because movies hadn't really started then.
Uh-huh.
We say stage actor to differentiate between actors in movies and actors who act on stage, live productions, which aren't in a movie. And he was legendary, which means he was very famous. Everybody knew about him, and they would remember him for a long time after he was gone.
He helped his friend by managing the operations of the theater. The operations of any company just includes all the activity of that business or organization, and you'll usually see that word in the plural form, the operations. So a company's financial operations, a company can maybe review their operations occasionally. So he managed or ran the theater, it sounds like. Well, while there, Bram Stoker rubbed shoulders with several famous writers, including Arthur Conan Doyle and Oscar Wilde. Arthur Conan Doyle is the author of the detective Sherlock Holmes. He was the one who wrote those detective novels, and Oscar Wilde wrote a lot of plays. If you rub shoulders with, it's kind of a fun phrase we use. It's kind of informal. It means you get to hang out with, meet, and talk with someone, usually someone who's kind of famous. So it's kind of a cool thing that you get to rub shoulders with some famous people. When I still lived in New York, I sang in a concert in New York City. And afterwards, after the concert, I got to rub shoulders with some of the famous composers there, like Philip Glass. So it's kind of cool. You don't really know them, but you kind of get to hang out in the same room, and you can tell people you met them.
Yeah, like here in Taipei, I used to hang out at a famous restaurant so I could rub shoulders with Taipei's famous taxi drivers. Of course, I wanted to mingle with them and get to know them and hear their stories and stuff like that. No, of course, I'm just kidding. But here, yeah, rub shoulders with usually is used with famous people.
Uh-huh.
And yes, he rubbed shoulders with those famous writers. I think Oscar Wilde wrote The Importance of Being Earnest, right?
He did. I saw that play. Yeah.
Okay. And I've read that a long time ago, although I can't remember what it was about. But in any case, perhaps he was influenced by his famous friends, so Stoker started to write his own original stories. Yeah, Conan Doyle, Oscar Wilde, these are really great people, but, you know, they're just regular folks like me, and if they can do it, hey, I can probably do it too. So he perhaps was influenced by them. Maybe they encouraged him, you know,
yeah.
Hey, you know, if we can do it, you can do it too. You're a pretty smart guy there. You're a real clever guy. So maybe you could try to write your own original stories. And so his writing career began after that, and the rest is history. And that brings us to about the halfway point of today's lesson. So we're going to stop right now, take a breather, and listen to our Chinese teacher right now.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 好，我们今天继续来看 Dracula 这个故事，但是重点在作者。好，作者呢是 Bram Stoker， 但是他介绍他的时候，他用到一个片语 Hails from Dublin， 这个我们比较少见，所以我们要提一下Hail 这个动词 ，Hail 当然它的意思就是打招呼，向谁喝彩，向谁欢呼。那它也有一个动词的解释是代表下冰雹。那我们在这边当然跟天气没关系。这里 Hail from 我们把它当片语来看。当你说一个人 Hails from somewhere， 就表示他来自于哪里。所以我们提到这本书它的作者。Bram Stoker 他是来自于爱尔兰的都柏林。我们接下来再往下看，下面呢当然就继续说他小时候常生病，然后呢妈妈常常讲故事给他听，所以也许这就影响到他后来，让他也很会讲故事。那后来又说到他大学他念了三一书院，然后他念数学，主修数学，毕业之后他开始公职生涯。不过在下面就讲咯，他同时也 worked on the side as a drama critic and freelance writer。 这个地方注意 work 后面的 as， 我们晓得 as 常常就是加一个角色，表示你扮演什么样的角色或者是什么样的一个人物地位。那我们看到这边的 work as 当然就表示说他兼职做什么。其他有几个相似的动词，你也可以用 serve as, act as， 就表示说诶你充当什么，担任什么。甚至如果用 function as， 一个事情诶一个东西它有什么样的功能，这都是类似的用法。再来我们再往下看，Stoker 同时兼剧作家、评论家，然后再来呢他又移居到伦敦去，然后帮他的好朋友一起管理舞台剧剧院的运作。那在那一段期间呢，他跟几位知名作家来往，我们看到跟人交往、结交朋友用的这个片语 rub shoulders with， 这个用字面来看是肩擦肩，那但是中文的翻译其实就代表和谁做朋友。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson. Now, remember where we left off. We're talking about Bram Stoker, the author of our featured book, Dracula. He's from Dublin, Ireland, and his mother would tell him stories, and that fired his imagination. He went to Trinity College, studied math. Then he got a civil service job, but then he went to England to help his friend manage the operations of his theater. He rubbed shoulders with other famous writers, and he started to write his own original stories. And, you know, you can't usually start from the top if you're a writer, of course. You have to accept the fact that publishers are going to reject your manuscripts. So his early efforts were not successful, either critically or financially. Well, but you got to start somewhere, right? You got to, start from the bottom and work your way up. If they're not successful critically, that means the critics, people who read your books and were writing articles about them, well, they didn't think they were any good, basically. So they were critical failures, basically. And they were not financial successes either, which means they didn't make any money for anybody.
Well, that often happens when people first start out. But that all changed. His luck changed after he published Dracula in 1897. So that book came out a long time ago. Dracula sold moderately well at first, and sales steadily increased in the following years. So if you talk about something doing moderately well, it means it was kind of average in size, average in sales. It didn't do great. It wasn't at the top of the bestsellers list, but it did pretty well, you could say. If something's moderate, it's average in size or amount. It's not too much. It's not too little. You might have your doctor recommend that you start exercising moderately. Moderately, of course, is the adverb of the adjective moderate.
Right, so you want to start moderately so that you don't have a heart attack and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's good advice. Talk to your doctor before you start an exercise program. And this is unusual, but actually this book sold pretty well. Not great, but it was moderately successful. And sales increased steadily in following years. So steadily is an adverb. It just means things increased slowly, bit by bit. It increased, adding on to it in the following years.
Yeah, it happened in kind of a gradual way, but it was continuous. That's not bad, right? Well, although Stoker published several other novels in his career, none of them would match the success of Dracula. That often happens to authors. They'll have one really big novel, and then everything else just doesn't ever approach the same success level. But he did very well with Dracula. Now, his work, it says, deals with gothic themes like spooky castles, maidens in distress, and beautiful countryside. All of these themes were pretty popular at the time he lived. Spooky is kind of a fun word. It just means scary, a little bit frightening. It causes fear. During Halloween time, you might want to go to a spooky haunted house. Those are fun. They really loved castles back then. There were a lot of castles, let's face it, in Europe.
Sure.
And some of them were old, and, you know, old places start making noises at night. It's kind of scary. So they're spooky. A maiden is kind of an old-fashioned word. It's a word we find in a lot of literature nowadays. It means a young girl or a woman who's not married. If you're in distress, it means you're either unhappy or in pain or you're suffering somehow. Maybe your mind is suffering or your body. I could say many hospital patients are clearly in distress, meaning they're clearly in pain. These maidens that are in distress probably need a guy to come rescue them.
Come help me, please. I can't do it myself.
Yeah.
Of course, feminists would hate these kinds of maidens in distress. But in any case here, he was writing about them, the big hero coming to their rescue.
Yeah, it seemed romantic.
Probably still does in some context. He was also writing about the beautiful scenery there, the countryside. And they were all extremely popular at that time. Spooky castles, maidens in distress, beautiful scenery, all that kind of stuff. And, of course, these gothic themes. Did we explain that gothic here? That's basically a period of history. But when I think of things gothic, they're like castles. And, of course, heavy metal groups are very gothic and stuff like that. Well, Rather than dwelling on the past, Stoker would often contrast these classic themes with contemporary life. So instead of dwelling on the past, he decided that he would contrast these themes with modern contemporary life. So if you dwell on the past, that means you think only about the past. Sometimes people are so guilty and they're depressed because they keep dwelling on the past. Oh, I made all those mistakes. I shouldn't have quit college when I did. I shouldn't have been fired from that job. I shouldn't have let my wife run off with a salesman and stuff like that. You just keep dwelling on the past instead of moving forward. But he did not dwell on the past. He did move forward, but he took these classic themes, Maidens in Distress, Spooky Castle, etc., and contrasted them with contemporary life. So if you contrast something, that means you put them side by side and compare them, and usually they're very different from each other.
That's right. And he would contrast the classic themes that we talked about with contemporary life. Contemporary life here refers to the period of time that Bram Stoker lived in, not modern day today, because that's not what he was writing about. He lived back in the 1800s. So he would compare these gothic themes that were old and very classic to the people back then with what was happening in that current time and day. So contemporary here means from the same period of time that he was writing. Now, by doing so, he would capture many people's anxieties. If you capture something, especially if we use this verb to talk about someone who writes, we're saying they are able to describe or show something through their writing in a really accurate way. So I could say, oh, this photo captures the scene's beauty. Well, he captured or was able to describe or show many people's anxieties because at that time, life was really changing greatly for these people because of advances in science and society changes. Your anxiety can describe some fears that you have, maybe some nervousness you feel about what might happen. It's scary when change happens for a lot of people. They're not used to it.
Yeah, this sounds like it was in the middle of the Industrial Revolution, So lots of things were changing, and people were very unsure about the future, what's going to happen in the future, so they had all these anxieties. So I guess Dracula sort of helped them deal with this by seeing what was happening there. And although Stoker died in 1912, the legend of Count Dracula has grown over time. So he died over 100 years ago, back in 1912, and even though he died a long time ago, Count Dracula is still around. His legend has grown over time, and if you ask anybody if they know who Count Dracula is or was, they will know.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows about this book. In fact, we always seem to call it Bram Stoker's Dracula. Have you noticed that?
Sure.
I don't know. I hear that all the time. Instead of just, oh, have you read Dracula? It's always Bram Stoker's Dracula. So his name is actually attached to the title many times when people talk about this groundbreaking novel. If something's groundbreaking, it means it's introducing new ideas, new methods that have never been talked about or done before. A lot of scientists love their work because they're involved in groundbreaking research. Well, this novel was groundbreaking and has influenced the creators of a lot of authors since that time. For example, the creator of the Twilight series, she actually talks about how Dracula influenced her own writing. And, of course, I mentioned there are many other TV shows, series that are coming out that deal with vampires.
Yeah, I don't understand the attraction myself. I kind of wish people would get over this obsession with vampires. But somebody's got to explain this to me, why vampires continue to be so popular. I suppose Bram Stoker's Dracula had something to do with that. Well, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. Here's our Chinese teacher to talk to you now.
好，然后呢，继续我们来看咯。这一边的开头啊，这句话 ,perhaps influenced by his famous friends. Influenced, 注意到了吗？这是一个过去分词。当然，用过去分词来直接作为句子的开头，那一定是一个分词构句。的确，这是一个分词构句，而且这里有被动的含义。那原来的句子是什么呢？当然你可以解释说，这是一个原因，所以我们可以把它讲成 as he was perhaps influenced by his famous friends. He was influenced. 这是原来的被动。我们再来往下看。下面呢，我们要提到他早先的作品其实不叫好，也不叫座。这一切后来却都改变了。在他发表了这一本 Dracula 之后，我们要看到这个 that 也是一个很简单的字，但是在文法上你要知道它是一个指示代名词。那我们谈指称词的时候要特别留意是它到底代表什么，它指示代名词是讲前面提过的什么东西。以这边来说就是指这前面这整件事，说他呀，哎，早期的作品不叫好不叫座，而这一切在后面书 Dracula 发行之后就改变了，整句话用 that 来取代。好咯，再来我们看下面呢，提到这本书，哎， Dracula 卖得非常的好，那但是很可惜的是，接下来他虽然还写书，可是却没有其中一本可以如此的成功。我们要注意到的，哎，是从 although 开始的这句话， although Stoker published several other novels in his career, 逗点 none of them would match the success of Dracula. 这一句的 none of them, 我们要特别留意，这可是后半句的主词，也就是这句主要句的主词，所以是 none of them, 没有任何一本。那为什么要提这个呢？因为我们再往下看下一段，下一段有一个结构我们可以拿来做比较，也就是提到说他的作品内容，牵涉到什么样的议题，比如说像牵涉到阴森的城堡、陷入危难的少女、还有美丽的乡村等等。但是谈到这些主题，看到了逗点后面接的 all of which were extremely popular at the time。 那这个结构呢，跟刚刚的 none of them 注意到了吗？有点像又有点不像。不像在哪里是我们要注意的，因为这个逗点后面的 all of which 用到 which，那为什么不用 all of them 呢？理由其实很简单，因为就文法结构来说，刚刚的 although 那个句子里头，前半是所谓的附属子句，后半是主要句，主要句当然要有自己的主词，所以是 none of them。 可是这句话呀，你看到前半没有连接词哦，它前半跟后半其实全部放在一起看的话，并不是后面是主要句，而是后面是要用一个连接词来连接另外一个关系子句，所以你要用到 which 来取代前面提到的这三个议题。
Okay everybody, next in our next program we're going to talk about some of the themes that are contained inside the novel Dracula. We hope you'll join us then. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.